saved, healed, free, and living out their purpose in Christ. Doesn't that sound good? To see all people saved, healed, free, and living out their purpose in Christ. I've talked to people that say things like, you know, Scott, I've had a good career. I've had a really blessed life. But I'm at this stage in my life where I just want to make a difference. I want to make a difference while I'm here. And it's funny because you never hear someone say, you know, I've lived a very meaningful life. I've lived with a lot of purpose, and I'm just tired of living with purpose. And I really just want to do something meaningless. You don't hear that very often. And for the next part of my life, they might say, you know, I just want to do worthless things instead of meaningful things. Well, today I want to talk to you about vision and purpose. So I'm going to share a passage with you in a little bit. I'm going to kind of set you up and share with you just what purpose and purpose is. And then at the very end, I want to gear you up right now. I'm going to be challenging us to move into what I'm calling a 30-day challenge starting in September. So this will start next week. And so I'm giving you plenty of time to prepare, to get things in order, get your home in order, to get ready for our 30-day challenge. And I'll be sharing more details on that. But today I want to talk to you about just purpose and why we're here. You know, most people are not powered by purpose. And it's because purpose has this kind of gotcha kind of thing to it. Purpose is purpose is a means to an end. And most people are not willing to be a means to an end. I think all of us want to just get to the end result, right? And we don't want to be a part of the journey or the process that takes us to the end. We want to just experience the end result. And so what purpose is, here's a simple definition. Purpose is the reason for why something exists. And so the simple way of putting it, purpose is the why. It's the why. But here's the problem. When we ask, what is my purpose, or maybe asking the question, why am I here? When we ask questions like that, it's really self-focused if you think about it. What is my purpose? Why am I here? These are not wrong questions to ask, but really the right question to start asking and to start off with is, who am I here for? Not why am I here, but who am I here for? That's the right question to ask. Because if it's all about me, and if it's all about asking, you know, we're asking, what's in it for me, and what do I get? We'll never get to true purpose. We'll never get there. And so that's why I wanted to share this message with us. You're going to see this on the screen here in just a minute, but let me give you this statement, and you might want to write this down. Purpose means saying no to you so you can say yes to something bigger. Purpose means saying no to you so you can say yes to something bigger. And this is kind of how you see so many characters in the Bible who live this way. In fact, when King David got to the end of his life, listen to what it says. This is just kind of reflecting back to the life of David in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 36. And it says this, "Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep." He died. "And he was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed." And I really like that last part, his body decayed, as if it's just saying, David served out God's purpose on life, and his body does what everybody's body will do one day. It just decayed. And a lot of us don't like to think about things like that. But I hope just reading that kind of gets things into perspective for us. Again, purpose means saying no to you so you can say yes to something far greater than yourself, something bigger than you, which means purpose has a price. And I think that this is one of the points that we're getting at. Purpose has a price. That's why so many people sit on the sidelines. That's why so many people sit it out. Do you know what people are really saying when they say, there's got to be more to this life? You know, they're out there saying, there has got to be more. What they're really saying is, there has got to be more than just me. There's got to be more to this life than just me and myself. That's what they're really saying. So the reality is, there is no meaning until you are willing to move beyond yourself. I'm going to say this again. There is no meaning to this life until you are willing to move beyond yourself. I read this really cool quote from a lady. Her name is Cheryl Bachelder, and she's the CEO of Popeye's Chicken, of all things, okay? But she really shared this great quote, and this is what she says in her book. The point of purpose is to determine how you will serve others. If you don't plan to serve, you don't need a purpose. If you don't plan to serve, listen, if you don't plan to give your life away, not for selfish reasons, not to build self up, not to glorify self, or to do all these things and keep consuming. This is why people, when they keep consuming things, let's just say you make all the money in the world and you go to all the faraway places you want to go to and you do all the wonderful, great things. This is why you see people like that and they're just going, there's got to be more even when they do things like that. Why? It's because of this very statement, there is no meaning until you are willing to move beyond yourself. And so you have to be willing to be a means to an end. This is just to summarize this beginning. You have to be willing to pay the price. And you have to be willing to ask, not why am I here, but who am I here for? You have to be willing to do that. And so Jesus, the Son of God, he came for a purpose, right? And when he was faced with death and the cruelty of the cross, you remember this, he was praying to God. And here's what he says. He says this in Luke 22:42. He says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Don't let me go to the cross. Don't let me suffer, if you are willing. But listen to the end of this. Yet not my will, yours be done. You see, he was willing to be a means to an end. He came here for a purpose. And he was willing to be a means to an end. He was willing to pay the price. And he was here to do the will of the Father. That's why God put him here. He was here for a purpose. And so we learn from the life of Christ. And if I were to explain our purpose here at Bear Creek, and you really held me down and you just forced me to say, okay, tell me the purpose of Bear Creek using one word, I would say save. And I'm going to show you why. There is a lot to this. It's just this one word. There's so much to this one word. But let me share with you one passage, and this is out of many, many passages that I could have shared today. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 10, and we're going to be in John chapter 10, starting in verse 7. And let me give you the little setup for this. In John chapter 9, it kind of brings the context to this passage, okay? And so what we do when we read Scripture is we just ask, what does this mean, okay? Because look, there's one meaning, but there's many applications in Scripture, all right? So there's one meaning, So when we read Scripture, we have to understand it in context because we want to know what it means and what he's literally saying. But there's a lot of application. And so I'm going to be sharing with you one of the many applications of this passage. But here's the context. Jesus healed a blind beggar. And the religious leaders were really irritated about this whole thing, that Jesus healed this blind beggar. And they told the man that his blindness was God's punishment for his sin. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that horrible? And the man was fully convinced that Jesus was Lord and Savior after he was healed. And it says in John chapter 9, verse 38, that the man believed and worshiped Jesus. It was that simple. The man believed and worshiped Jesus. And this really made these religious leaders even more upset. And so Scripture says at the end of chapter 9, it says that they kicked him out of the synagogue. And so Jesus is now, he's responding to this by telling everyone, these religious leaders, these aren't true shepherds. And he's using this analogy of sheep and shepherds. And he's saying, these are not true shepherds. In fact, they're thieves and they're robbers. And he says, these leaders didn't enter the sheep pen by the door. At the beginning of chapter 10, he says this. They're thieves and they didn't come through the front door. And you know how thieves are, they come all kinds of different ways. And so here's what Jesus does to kind of address this, verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." Verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Isn't that great news? Jesus says twice, "I am the door," verse 7 and verse 9. He is the door. And here's the truth here is, he's the door for the shepherds. Right? These religious leaders should have came by way of his door, right? And he's the door for the sheep. And really, those shepherds can't effectively lead the sheep until they come through his door. If they don't come through his door, these shepherds are just thieves and robbers. And Jesus makes this really, really quick clear. I mean, he says, you really just have two options here. You have the door, which is me, and then you have everything else that is not the door, right? You have everything else. And listen, before Christ, I tried all kinds of different doors. I think some of you can probably relate to that. And in my early 20s, I was an alcoholic, and I tried that door. And here's the thing, I thought alcohol was a door to a room that I always really wanted to be. And I thought it would heal me, I thought it would fix me, I thought it would bring some relief to my life, but it was a thief and it was a liar and it was a robber. And many of you have ventured into doors like that yourselves. And the only thing that is behind those doors are thieves and robbers to steal you and to steal your life away. But Jesus says, "I am the door." And in this case, it was these prideful religious leaders that were filled with selfish motives that were stealing. They were the robbers. So really, it all boils down to these two choices. It's either Jesus or it's something else. And this has always been really the case throughout Scripture. You'll remember back with Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, he says this, I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. Choose God. Choose His way. And so there's always been two choices. Now, the wrong choice is filled with many, many, many things, the wrong door. There's lots of different options there. But it's really just one choice. There's one choice, one door. So as we consider our purpose as individuals and as God's church, we know this. There is one door. There is one door. Look at verse 9. And so he repeats this again. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. There's that word. If I could boil the purpose of this church down to one thing, it would be this word, saved. It says, he will be saved. So what happens if you choose the right door? You will be saved. If you enter his door, you will be saved. Well, what does that mean? In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says this, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other. There's no other door. There's no other name that we can be saved under. And so this word saved about, I think it was around 2010, I started to really dive into this word, and it really just overwhelmed me. And then I found that churches all over the world and pastors all over the world really got a hold of this. See, this word saved, it means it's a Greek word. It's sozo, S-O-Z-O. It's a Greek word, sozo. And it means more than just being rescued. Amen. So saved means three things. Number one, it means to be saved or rescued from danger. And we see that in lots of verses in the New Testament. Matthew 1:21 says, he shall save his people from their sins. Okay? Rescued. It also means to be healed. We see this throughout several scriptures in the New Testament. And in James chapter 5, verse 15, it says, the prayer of faith shall save or heal, sozo, the sick. And then the last one is, it means not only to be saved but healed, but it means to be made whole. It means to be made whole. And so in Luke 8:48, it says, your faith has made you whole. And it's using that same word, sozo, there. And so let me give you just an illustration of what this kind of looks like, this word saved looks like. Okay, so let's say you are dropped off in some remote wilderness to survive off the fat of the land. How many of you would like, at this point in our world, would like to be dropped off somewhere in the middle of the wilderness to just live off the fat of the land? Okay. All right. Some of us would like to do that. Okay. So let's just pretend there you are, you're in the woods, and now you're fishing, and you're just enjoying your time on the river, and you see this grizzly bear, and he looks friendly, and you just keep fishing, and you're not worried about it. But before you know it, he's attacking you, and he's attacking you with his teeth and his claws. And then out of nowhere, this wise old man comes out of the woods. He aims down on the grizzly bear, shoots it dead, and it just falls dead in its tracks. Well, what did he do? He saved you, right? He saved your life. This old wise man saved your life. He rescued you from imminent death. But because of the struggle that you were in, and you have lots of injuries, you have lots of wounds because of the bear attacking you, And so over a period of time, this old man, he tends to your wounds, and he heals your wounds, and he teaches you the ways of the woods. And one day, you are made whole. You are sozo. And that's what it is, to be saved from death, to be healed from your wounds, and to be made whole. And that's what Jesus does when you step through that door. Isn't that cool? See, sin is like trying to play with a grizzly bear. And I'm going to show you this picture on the screen. There he is. And just leave that picture up. And you just think he's cute. You think he's just Mr. Cuddles. Look at him waving at you. Hi, guys. You see him? You just think he's cute. But before you know it, Mr. Cuddles is bearing down on you, and he's sinking his claws and his teeth into you. And Mr. Cuddles here, the bear, it represents sin. And it's so easy to play with it because it seems so good and seems so okay, and it's so relieving at times, and it makes you feel like you can escape. But before you know it, it's eating you alive. And then this old man comes. And he saves you. And he heals you. And he teaches you the ways of the woods. Jesus says, I am the door. And anyone who enters will be saved, healed, made whole. And sin is like trying to play with this grizzly bear. And he saves you, and Jesus comes in, he saves you, and he heals you, he makes you whole, and he teaches you the ways of the woods. And then look what Jesus says in verse 9. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Look what he says next. And will go in and out and find pasture. Doesn't that sound nice? So if you enter this door, you will be saved. Then he says, you'll go in and out and find pasture when you open this door. You won't be confined. You won't have to hide away. You'll come and go and find pasture. And this is really a picture of freedom. Look at verse 10. Jesus says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You know, there's this businessman who would never darken the door of this church. And let me tell you why. He's in charge of too many important things. And he doesn't need religion as a crutch. He thinks he's too smart for it. He thinks he's too smart for the Bible and too smart for religion. And he's making a lot of money, and really what's happening is he's deceiving himself. He's not found true life. The door he entered is a place of thieves and robbers, but he has no idea that was the door that he chose. And that breaks my heart. And then on the other side of town, there's this other guy, and he's broke, and he's on the verge of just losing everything. He is almost homeless. He can't keep a job. He burns every bridge. His family is exhausted trying to help him. And he's 40 years old, and he's scratching his head thinking, man, am I so unlucky? How did I get so unlucky? But years ago, he entered a door, and behind that door were thieves and robbers that have stolen from him the truth. And now he lives a lie, And he's gotten so used to living that lie, he's embraced it, and he just gets into the rhythm of lies, and he swims in the lies, and he doesn't know where to go. And these guys are trapped, and they've got to have a savior, but they're trapped. And then there's this woman, and she's just right down the road from the church here. And her husband left her. She has three kids. The bills are piling up. She lives in worry and fear every day of her life. She runs 100 miles an hour in a million different directions and never gets anywhere. And some of you know what that's like. And she's searching and she's looking for answers. And instead of finding the true answer, she is trying all kinds of doors, and she's not finding anything but thieves and robbers. We have a world that's just slap-filled with these stories. And the stories keep coming, and the stories keep coming. And maybe you're that story. Maybe this is you today. But then Jesus, he extends his hand, and he says, I am the door. I'm the door. And see, this church exists to see all people saved, healed, and free, and living out their purpose in Christ. There's no greater passion that I have as your pastor, and there's no greater purpose that we could possibly have on this earth than we ourselves experiencing being saved, healed, and free, and to give and extend that out in the name of Jesus. And to offer people around the world life. And so I want to show you some things on the screen as we start to wrap things up here. One is, again, this is our purpose. Why don't you move to the next slide? The next is we want to lead and inspire all people to hunger for the living God. Look, if you walk through that door and you're saved, and now you hear me say this a lot, I'm going to keep saying it. I'll be saying it 20 years from now. I'll be coming up here on a walker like this, and I'll be sharing this message, okay? There are a lot of people in churches who are saved, but there's not a lot of people in churches who are healed and free. And the road to healing and freedom is hunger. Did you hear me? The road to healing and freedom is hunger. No hunger, no healing, no freedom. Because what hunger does in your relationship with Jesus Christ is it puts you in hot pursuit of him. And it's kind of like Jacob when he wrestled with God. And here's what happened. He wrestled with God and he held on to God and he said, I won't let go of you until you bless me. That's pursuit. And so you're going to have to make a decision. Will I ever do anything in this faith that will put me in pursuit of God? Or will I always just sit it out and hope I was saved back when I was 8 years old? Okay? So there's a lot of people who are saved, but there's not a lot of people who are healed, set free, and living out their purpose in Christ. And I want to see people who are healed, free, and living out their purpose in Christ. The only way to get there is if our people here at Bear Creek are hungry. Let me ask you a question. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for the living God? Okay, you're saved. Okay, you've come to that conclusion. You've made a decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Look, faith is more than about just going to heaven when you die. It's about knowing him. It's about fellowship with God, closeness. It's about pursuing him. And the only way you're going to be pursued, it's just like food. And I think God gave us food as one of those things to teach us about how we're supposed to pursue him. Because look, if you don't have food for a long period of time, you are in hot pursuit of food. Let me ask you a question. If you are without God and closeness with God for a long period of time, what does that do to you? I'll tell you what it does to you. It either sends you to him, where you're hungering for him, or it sends you to the things of this world, thinking you're going to find satisfaction there. Okay, so your purpose, our purpose here is to see all people saved, healed, free, and living out their purpose in Christ. How do we do that? We do that by encouraging people and inspiring people towards hunger. Because the more hungry you are, the more you'll find healing, freedom, and purpose. Okay, the last part. So here's the last part. Let's go to that last slide. Here's the last part. It's the plan to provide clear steps that move people forward faster. I had a hard time with this one because I would probably get a lot of pushback from my pastor friends because they think faster. No, Scott, you don't have to get people going forward faster. You know, just get them going and just stay the course and just go slow. I'm not a slow guy, okay? Here's why I say forward faster, because what I've seen since I've been saved myself, 1996, I've seen people come to church and they get on this slow track and they go a micro inch by a micro inch by a micro inch forward and then five steps back and then an inch forward and then five steps back. And I believe, I am confident, and I pray that you'll hear this, okay? And you're going to have to just trust this. I believe at Bear Creek we have steps to move you forward faster. All right? And I know it's not like McDonald's versus Burger King, okay? I'm not McDonald's trying to get you to stop going to not go to Burger King, but I'm just telling you, I believe with all my heart, and I've experienced it personally myself, that we have steps to move you forward faster. And so here's the deal. Next month in September, I'm going to provide what's called a 30-day challenge. And here's two things. And you'll see these videos come up this week. I have two videos. One is just for new believers, people who have just made a decision to trust Jesus Christ. And we have a 30-day challenge for new believers, okay? And then I also have another one. This is called Fresh Starts, 30-day challenge for new believers, and then a 30-day challenge for longtime believers. And the 30-day challenge for longtime believers is to engage you. It's really intended to be like a personal revival for you. But you're going to have to devote yourself to 30 days. And so let me emphasize this about devotion. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, it says this: the disciples, which is the followers of Jesus, the disciples devoted themselves. If you want to spark hunger, you have to devote. All right? And I'm just telling you, all right? This is not legalism. And here's the deal, okay? So our part is to devote ourselves, like the disciples in Acts chapter 2, to devote ourselves. What did they devote themselves to? The Word of God, right? Fellowship, that means fellowship with one another, prayer, and communion with God, closeness to God. And so those things, fellowshipping with other believers, communion, like quiet time with God, communion with God, getting into his word and prayer. Those are the things that we're going to be emphasizing next month, all right? But so it's your devotion, but here's the deal. It's his power. Because you can't live this Christian life in the flesh. You can't live the Christian life like you used to live your old life. It doesn't work. And the only thing you know is how to live the old life, right? God wants to lead you and show you what it is to live in his power. But it's going to take devotion, and it's going to take hunger. Devotion and hunger, all right? And so if you will engage this 30-day challenge, the devotion that you give to God, it's kind of like saying, Lord, I'm just going to lay down my life this next 30 days. I'm going to get into your word. And look, there's two primary ways to know God intimately and closely. Prayer, the Bible, right? Prayer, these are two primary ways, prayer and the Bible. Now look, if you're like me, I hated to read when I was younger, okay? Now I love to read, all right? I read a whole lot right now, but I used to hate reading. And I didn't know a whole lot about prayer. I still need to work on that part of my life in my prayer time with God. But here's the deal, okay? This is his way, all right? And if you say, I'm not real good at reading, well, look, devote, right? And take some baby steps to start moving yourself. And look, like I say, we can move forward faster if we will just engage this. And so this is how important this is to me. Two priorities, to have your Bible in your hand and ready to pray. Pray is communication with God. Prayer is you telling God, I depend on you, I don't depend on me, right? Prayer is a gauge. Much prayer, much dependency on God. Little prayer, little dependency on God, okay? The Word of God, the Bible is the Word of God. It's his spoken word. It is inerrant, it is without error, right? It's written by man, but it's fully inspired by God. It is God's word, and it is authoritative, and it breathes life. And what happens is the word of God gets into the heart of man and changes you from the inside out. It's transformative. And so we don't open the Bible and look for education. We open the Bible and look for transformation. We don't open the Bible and look to study it like a textbook. We open the Bible to receive it like a love letter from God to one of his children. And so here's my last point. I'm doing pretty good because I thought for sure this would be like, we'd be done at 12:30. So I'm almost done here. Here's the last point. You know, a few years ago, I read this story of this man. And it's so interesting to me. I think I might have even shared this a while back, but it's so interesting to me because his daughter is a concert pianist. And he says, my daughter, she learned piano she started learning piano when she was 8 years old. And he says, and I sat in every lesson all the way up until she was about 19 years old, and now in her 20s, she's a concert pianist. He says, I attended every lesson. I stood beside her. I heard the piano teacher. But she's a concert pianist, and I can barely find a note on the piano. Isn't that interesting? You can be a conscientious observer and never experience healing, freedom, and purpose in Christ. You can be close. You can hear the teaching, but there's relationship application. There's fellowship application with God that's so deep and so rich, it's so beyond you. And only he can take you there. Amen? Only he can take you there. Devotion that leads to hunger will move you in that direction. Amen? All right. Next week, you're going to see some emails coming from me. If you're not on our email list, let me know. But I do want you to just be praying about this and praying about getting engaged with this. We want to see you thrive. We want to see you flourish in your Christian faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each person in this room. I pray that they know that we just want to see them be saved, healed, free, and living out their purpose on this planet. develop in our hearts, Lord, a stronger hunger for you. Inspire us by your people and by your word and by all the things that take place in this church. Inspire us to a stronger hunger. And Lord, I thank you for the leaders and for the teachers in this place that have put together a plan to step people toward this new life. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the only door. And I pray for that person in here that is sick and tired of being sick and tired of choosing the wrong doors. Doors filled with robbers and thieves that only lead them to more lives. Thank you, Jesus, that you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And I pray that you will wreck our hearts and rebuild us as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Did you take lots of notes? I hope you did. And I hope God spoke to you. And I hope that you will engage in this. God has so much more for you. And now what we're going to do is we're going to be leaving. And we're going to be stepping out into our mission field. And so what happens is God's people get saved and healed and free and living out their purpose. They become a light to all. And when we step out and we're saved and healed and free, we can't do anything else but want to tell people about it, right? And show people the light of Christ. And then as Scripture says, then they see the light in us. And we let our light so shine before man that they see our good works, and then they glorify our Father in heaven. Isn't that cool? All right, let me bless you. Father, bless each person here today. I pray that you will make your face shine upon them and bless them. May they go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.